my life I has to fight. All's my life I hard times like yeah, bad trips like yeah. Nazareth, I'm f***ed up, homie, you f***ed up. But if God got us, then we gon' be alright.
We gon' be alright. That line from Kendrick Lamar's hit song All Right has become the rallying cry, the anthem of the Black Lives Matter movement. It's also the title of journalist Jeff Chang's new book, a collection of essays on race, resegregation, and hip-hop. Chang has been exploring the intersection of hip-hop and politics for more than two decades. He's also produced hip-hop. He co-founded the indie label that launched the careers of DJ Shadow, Blackalicious, and Lyrics Born. Raymond Tungekar caught up with him recently to talk about hip-hop as a force for political change.
I saw you a couple weeks ago at the Wisconsin Book Festival, and there's one thing you said that kind of stuck with me. You mentioned that, you know, cultural change leads to political change. Has your thinking on that kind of changed at all since the election?
No, not necessarily. I think that the idea that, you know, a lot of us have been kind of thinking about and working on for many years is that we have to be able to expand the imagination for folks to kind of understand what kind of world we could actually create. And that's the work of people who are in the culture as opposed to folks who are working in politics. I mean, politics defines itself as the art of the possible, right? Art, in a sense, is about creating the idea of possibility, period. And so, yeah, we've been through this very divisive election cycle, and we're now in a period in which the country continues to feel extremely divided. And I think more than ever, it's important for those who are working in the culture to be able to offer visions of what it might look like to get past this sort of impasse, to imagine what a world could look like that's sustainable and inclusive and equitable for all.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, like, that kind of possible future or possible world imagined by artists could seem, you know, insufficient, right? Like, okay, just some background. I'm Pakistani. I grew up Muslim. And that morning was, I just woke up in a daze, you know? It felt like there were large parts of the country who like, wanted me or, like, my family out, you know?
And absolutely.
It just, I don't know. To me, it sounds a little naive to think that, you know, artists can change that. I mean, not to be flip or anything.
No, not at all. And I welcome the question, because it can feel very ethereal or very distant or very sort of kumbaya-ish, right? To kind of suggest at this moment, right, when everybody is so divided and many of us, like yourself, very much feel in physical danger, right? Walking down the street, to suggest that there might even be another kind of way other than fighting back is sort of pie in the sky. It feels very distant. But I want to just suggest that if we don't have ideas to kind of carry us forward, we have a sort of situation, a present in which it's filled really with rage and nothing else. In order for us to get out of this box, we do have to kind of think about what it would mean to create an alternative. And so I wholly understand and support, you know, what you're talking about. The night of the elections, when it appeared that Trump was headed to victory, I posted something on Twitter that kind of went viral. And it was just recapping, you know, this old organizing saw, which is don't mourn, organize, right? And I paired that with don't despair, create. It went viral. There were a lot of people who wanted to kind of hear it at that particular moment. But at the same time, there were a ton of people, a lot of my good friends, who were like, wait a minute, I need to despair. I need to mourn. I need to really consider what this means for me and my family and my friends who are now, like, in the target sites of folks. And we've seen, certainly in the past week, all kinds of microaggressions, all kinds of hate crimes that have taken place, and at the same time, the denial of such, right? And so the backlash to the backlash is already in full swing. And in that kind of cycle of recrimination and of violence, whether it be verbal or physical, we've got to be able to think about how we get out of that. And that requires us to be able to focus on other visions. And I think that that, again, is the work of artists to be able to take us there at this particular moment.
So to you, artists are, would you say, go so far as to say that they are on the vanguard of like political change?
I wouldn't say that. Okay. I'd say they're alongside a lot of other folks who are in the vanguard of political change. I'd just say that there's a place for them at the front line, and one that maybe we've kind of underestimated in our kind of maybe pure Cartesian focus on rationality. Mm-hmm. We need to be able to have visions. We need to be able to have stories. We need to be able to have songs that can take us up in the moments in which we're most down. I mean, look at Kendrick's song, right? It's called All Right. If you look at the title by itself, you'd think, well, this is a song that's just a happy, feel-good. It's happy that it's happy by Pharrell, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm happy. It's not that at all, right? It's a song that's really about struggle. And he's outlining for most of the song what it means to feel, to be in a young black man's body at this particular moment in history, right? And all of the difficulty and struggle that comes with that. And yet, out of the air, he seems to pull this lyric, you're effed up, I'm effed up, but if God's got us, then we're going to be all right. And that's why it's becoming an anthem. It's this dialectic of we're in struggle, and yet we're reaching for something bigger. And that's something that only art can do. It's certainly not something that I'm going to expect any politician to be doing over the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one reason this was so shocking for people is, I mean, the country over the past couple of decades has seemed to be, I mean, it's been moving in a more diverse direction, right? You have a lot of people mm-hmm. of color in positions of power, both politically and culturally. This election seemed to run against the idea that increased diversity leads to racial equity.
Yeah, diversity by itself doesn't lead us towards equity.
In fact, in the like one of the opening chapters, you basically ask the question, is diversity for white people?
There is a permanent decoupling of diversity from equity. And what that has led us to now is a country in which we uphold the picture of diversity as our ideal, but we make no claims to want to change what have been historical patterns of inequality and segregation. And so as a result, we've fallen back into segregation right in front of our very faces without being able to call it for what it is.
I guess I'm wondering, I mean, we've talked about the problems, and I'm wondering how you take an issue as big as resegregation and try to combat that. I mean, how, if you could offer a series of solutions towards, you know, desegregation, what would that look like?
If we are able to refocus on racial justice questions, that this is part and parcel of what we need to do in order to alleviate inequality in this country. Because the biggest gaps in inequality are happening between the races. That's the front line of the inequality fight. And so addressing racial justice is the beginning, I think, towards undoing the lurch towards inequality that we've seen happen in the U.S.
Hmm. So, I mean, we started this interview by talking about Kendrick Lamar's We Gonna Be All Right. Mm-hmm. You close the book by talking about another artist. You talk about Beyoncé's Lemonade, which you seem to suggest offers wisdom on how we might move forward. Like, what could we, you know, glean from Lemonade?
Yeah, you know, I often say, well, I had to end with Beyoncé. I start with Donald Trump, and I end with Beyoncé because after Beyoncé, there's really nothing left to say. But the album Lemonade was really striking to me, and it came out as I was trying to wrap up the book, actually. And it came out, and I was like, wait a minute, there's something going on here. The gossip pages kind of had it as this is an album about Beyoncé and Jay's marriage and how they almost broke up and what did Jay do to B and what did Bey do to Jay and all this other kind of stuff, right? But if you kind of look at it, I think that she was meaning for the album to be read against this backdrop of the rise of the movement for Black Lives. And in that sort of arc that she presents, right, of there's a betrayal, right, that happens. And then she goes through the different types of emotions that she needs to go through in order to try to recover herself, so to speak, right? She goes through anger, and she goes through pain, and then she goes through apathy and sort of disassociation. And then she tries to find her way back towards redemption and healing. And she does this by going home first, right? That's the sort of flipping point of the album, Daddy Lessons. And if you watch the video, because there was a video that accompanied it, there's a lot of images of sort of Yoruba kinds of practices. She's bringing in all these different types of images that are Afro-diasporic in nature. She's really going big in a way. And then there's this sort of breaking free, right? This is a song, Freedom, where she's now identifying her struggle with the larger struggle for liberation. And at the end, surprisingly, there's a reconciliation. She has a reconciliation with her lover. And the movie really touchingly ends with all of these images of Black couples, straight, gay, children, and this sense that we can all kind of come back together. And I said to myself, wow, she's actually making a statement here really about what justice could look like, what equity could look like, what whole futures could look like for Black lives that have been shattered by external and internal types of forces. And maybe this is a sort of allegory for us thinking about how society can mend itself. And so whenever I feel really, really down, I just put on Beyoncé's album and I feel like, hey, maybe we really are going to be all right. I'm telling these tears go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flame.
Jeff Chang's new book is called We Gonna Be All Right. Raymond Tangekar talked with him.